Weekend Breakfast with Africa Malani on Cape Talk, your number one news and talk station.
The property and community scheme industry was more tightly regulated when in 2016 the Community Schemes Ombud Services Act came into effect, and adjusting to the new laws has not been easy at all. To help us through some of these new laws is Zelinda van der Merwe, a specialist community schemes attorney at Paddox. She's also here to answer all of your questions pertaining to sectional titles, estates operated by homeowners associations, share block schemes, retirement homes, housing co-ops and complexes. If you have any legal questions around those kinds of schemes, we certainly welcome your calls on 021-446-0567. Zelinda, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa, and good morning to the Cape Town Cape Talk listeners. Thank you very much for this opportunity once again to chat to you about a couple of the types of community scheme disputes that we deal with in the Paddox Consulting Department.
Please go ahead, because I'm quite keen to find out what aspects of the new law have not been very easy for these forms of schemes to obviously apply and to embrace.
Fantastic. All right. So I remember learning at varsity the saying that co-ownership is the mother of disputes, and how true this is, unfortunately, in community schemes. But the question is, what is a dispute? Now, the Community Schemes on the Service Act defines a dispute as one that relates to the administration of a community scheme, where the dispute is between persons who each have a material interest in the scheme, such as the executive committee members. These are the trustees, the directors, the owners, now the occupiers, bondholders, managing agents, where any one of these parties is actually involved in the dispute and the other is the association or an owner or an occupier. Now, the Community Scheme Ombud Service, so I'm going to call it the CSOS, deals with a very wide range of these types of disputes. And they fall within seven different categories relating to the types of orders that a CSOS-appointed adjudicator can make dealing with these applications for dispute resolutions. Now, the CSOS deals with financial issues, such as the correction of unreasonable levy contributions. And I think the most important one for all intents and purposes, the behavioral issues. For example, the removal of a barking dog or a cat in a scheme. Scheme governance issues where provisions of rules and perhaps constitution provisions are invalid. Disputes relating to meetings. These are general meetings of the members of these schemes. Management services such as the appointment or the termination of a managing agent or executive managing agent, and then physical work such as the carrying out of repairs, and then general other issues such as the access to information. And just before I started chatting, there was an ad relating to the protection of personal information, and this is an order that the CSOS deals with very often. Now, specifically in our consulting department the last while, we've been dealing with quite a few of these, more specifically where a resolution that is tabled for member approval in a community scheme is not passed because there's unreasonable opposition to it. Now, the CSOS can actually make an order that could overturn any resolution that is taken by members in a community scheme. Very often, owners refuse resolutions simply because it's not something that they believe is fair to themselves. They don't want to give an applicant owner a resolution because they feel that it's unfair that their particular property is increased in value and theirs is not. So the types of reasons that are given when they are clearly unreasonable, this is something that the CSOS looks at. One of the other examples that I can give you is where there is failure on the part of an owner to undertake certain remedial work to their property. So, for example, an owner fails to repair a leak in their property, damages cause the property below, and then the affected owner can approach the CSOS for an order requiring that the source of the leak be repaired and even damages to their unit. So these are just two examples of the types of orders that we deal with very regularly. There's been quite a few orders that have come from the Community Scheme Ombud Service since their establishment and, of course, their enforceability of the 7th of October 2016. So they've been around for a while, and we've seen quite a few interesting matters being done with, and I'm sure perhaps your listeners have a couple of interesting matters that they've taken to the Community Scheme Ombud Service as well that they'd like to talk about this
morning.
They
certainly do, and we're inviting those on 021-446-0567. I already have a question for you, Zelinda, from Sharon in Sea Point. But before we go to that call, the resistance to the new laws, has it been a case of, you know what, I'm used to doing this way and I'm comfortable with it this way, do not be introducing any new laws to me and to my scheme, Or has it been a case of the law in how it's written is slightly complex, verbose, if you like, too jargon-filled, that people are just not able to apply what is required of them by the new law?
You know, quite interestingly, I thought before the legislation changed that we would have a large group of our community scheme just simply saying this is too difficult to be able to apply. We're going to stick to our rules until such time as we get wrapped over the knuckles. But that hasn't really been the case. People have been quite open to the new sectional title schemes management act, for example, that has come out. They've been quite keen on resolving their disputes through the community scheme on the service as well. Of course, there are still issues in the internal management and administration of schemes, but we've been pleasantly surprised at how open the community schemes have been to actually attempting to deal correctly with the new legislation.
All right. Let's get Sharon into the conversation now. My guest this half hour is Zelinda van der Merwe. She's a specialist community schemes attorney at PEDOX, and we're talking about community schemes. Here it's sectional titles, estates operated by homeowners associations, share block schemes, retirement homes, housing co-ops and complexes. How have you and your scheme responded to the Community Schemes Ombuds Services Act that came into effect in April of 2016? And how are you adjusting to those new laws? Give us a call at 021-446-0567. Sharon, good morning. What's your question or comment for Zelinda?
Yes, morning, Zelinda. I wanted to find out, in a share block on the Atlantic seaboard, the trustees or the directors, as they call themselves, have decided to route the water from the mains to a tank on the roof. And nobody's apparently checking the tank. And I want to know if this is a legal thing or if this is something that one could take to the ombudsman or if you know anything about this kind of thing at all.
Sure. So in a share block, you obviously have to look at your governance documents, which is going to be quite specific to your individual community scheme, and that would be your use agreement. You'd have to have a look at the powers of these directors, whether or not this is something that they'd be able to do without coming to you as the members, without being duly authorized in terms of budget approval. If this was a sectional title scheme, for example, I would tell you that it's an improvement to common property and there is some type of member involvement that is needed. So your first port of call is to look at that use agreement, have a look at what the directors are allowed to do, aren't allowed to do, and should it be something that has fallen outside of the scope of the use agreement, to first take it up with the directors, try to get support from your fellow owners, and if after reasonable attempts at trying to resolve the dispute internally you fail, definitely to make an application to the Community Scheme on the service for this particular dispute resolution.
All right, Sharon.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much. Melanie is in Runnabosch. Hello, Melanie.
Hello, Zelinda. I would like to know, also in a share block scheme, when a block of shares, in other words, an apartment and whatever goes with it, is sold, is the share block entitled to charge a facilitation fee that then comes into the kitty for the company to use instead of an agent selling it and then the commission going to the agent?
Sure, that's an interesting one. Again, unfortunately, Melanie, this is something that would have to be dealt with specifically in your use agreement, in the rules of your share block. If it's not there, then the directors would not be empowered to raise such a fee. To be quite honest with you, it's the first year of such a fee. This is something that normally takes place in homeowners associations, for example. So I don't think that that is a fee that should be charged, but you're going to have to look at your independent or individual use agreements there to see whether or not the directors are empowered to charge such an additional fee above and beyond normal contributions.
That makes it clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Melanie. But would there be any space in the legislation, Zelinda, that would allow such fees to be levied by obviously the share block scheme?
In any provision of a governance document of any type of community scheme, any such fee would need to be reasonable. The use to which the fee is going to be put also needs to be in the benefits of all of the owners. So if it is something that the directors or the trustees want to impose, number one, it has to be properly enforceable in terms of the governance documents. That is obviously approved by the members, by quite a high level of approval by the members. And if it has a reasonable purpose, it shouldn't be a problem. But then again, all of the rules in a sectional title scheme, for example, have to be reviewed by the community scheme ombuds service, and eventually, I suppose, the other community schemes as well would need to go through that process. So it is going to be a bit of a test case, but if the majority or at least a higher level of members approve it and it's going to be put to a reasonable purpose, it shouldn't be an issue.
We have schemes because they are of benefit, right?
Correct, definitely, yeah.
That's a lovely, short and easy answer. Let's go to Melanie in Sea Point. Melanie, what's your question for Zelinda? Good morning.
Yes, hi, Zelinda. I had the occupancy of my apartments raised through reconfiguration of the apartment, and I was awarded the extra occupants. So the conduct rules now reflect extra occupants in my apartments, but two extra occupants. The trustees are asking that I now add extra levies, that I'm compelled to pay extra levies for those two extra occupants. So if my occupancy went from 2 to 4, they're asking for an extra 250 rand per person, citing that I should pay extra for wear and tear on common ground, electricity, lift usage. And my argument is that the only sort of amount that extra occupants use outside of, you know, common area would be water. So how do I settle that sort of dispute with them?
Okay, fantastic. I love that one. You know, it's actually quite scary how often we come across this type of provision in rules of a scheme, or sometimes it's not even contained in a rule. I don't believe if it is a rule that it would be reasonable, and if it's not a rule, obviously it can't be enforced. This is not something that a community scheme can enforce upon its members. The occupation of the units obviously has an effect on the resources of the community scheme, but the actual effect of it needs to be controlled. Like you used the example of water. Water, we know, can either be recovered according to your participation quota, or there could be individual meters recording consumption. So if occupation is really a concern, water use is really a concern, rather pass the relevant resolution to get water meters installed to ensure that individual consumption is going to be correctly recorded, and obviously the charges are going to be correctly recovered. I do not believe that a rule or even a policy that the trustees try to implement to charge any particular owner more simply because of the higher occupation rate is reasonable or valid. It should not be allowed in a community scheme, and I'm sure if you take it to the community scheme on the service after you try to resolve it internally, it is something that they would frown upon as well.
Can I just mention that I actually did take this to CSOS, and the adjudicator actually did allow them to ask me for extra levies based on this extra occupancy. And it is something that I have heard from other lawyers that I shouldn't have to pay. We're now heading back to dispute at CSOS regarding it. The trustees are adamant that I pay an extra 250 rand per person. And so it's good to hear that, you know, I do have some kind of recourse to it. So I should just stick to my guns.
I think so. Definitely do that. It would be interesting to see what the outcome of the community scheme ombuds service is. And of course, if you're not happy on a point of law on any of the orders, you could take it on appeal as well, should you wish to take the matter further.
Melanie, do keep us up to date regarding the resolution of that. Thank you very much for your call and all the best. Jenny is in Observatory. Hello, Jenny.
Hi. Morning, Africa. Morning, Linda. I've just switched on the radio and I'm just so glad I did. Linda, I'm curious to know. I have a cottage up in Tembus Kloof, and there is an alley that used to run up along the back of lots of the cottages. And I have the exclusive use area of the piece of alley that is next to my property. And the people who bought the house next door assumed, without asking anybody, that that was for their use as well. So it has become a bit ugly because it is actually mine, even on the drawings. And the person who bought the house next door was angry because I asked for the keys. Somebody, a tenant I had given him the keys against my wishes. Anyway, so this guy has, I finally got the keys back. And they then said, okay, well, so we're now going to leave our bin outside and the rats and everything else can come there. I drove past there the other day and the place was an absolute shambles. Their bin was outside with all sorts of possibly recyclable materials. It looked an absolute shambles, yet this man is now a trustee of the group. And the trustees put pressure on me to paint, which, yeah, I did need to paint the house. The house has been painted, but now from the outside, and they park their bin in front of the door leading to the exclusive use area, because they say they've got nowhere else to put it. And I'm desperate. This looks awful. And I've got the people that is a storage area, and it is my exclusive use area. What can I do?
Okay, so I'm understanding you correctly. If I am understanding you correctly, that the trustees or other body corporate is making use of your exclusive use area for common property purposes. Is that correct?
They were the guy who bought the house next door was using it until I said, sorry, you can't use it because it's mine. Also they would park their bin in front of my bin. It just became a mess. But they're not using it, but they are now putting where the door to the exclusive use area opens onto the road. They are now putting their rubbish in front of the door, which means I would have to move their bin. Whoever is staying there has to move the bin. But the bin is, you know, they're not recycling the place. It looks disgusting. It is really bad. I took some pictures the other day when I went past there to check on the house. And they just don't seem to give a damn. And I don't know whether to go to the managing agents and say, look, can you deal with this? Because I really don't want to get into a neighborly or unknown neighborhood.
Yeah. I think have a look at your conduct rules, because most conduct rules of body corporates deal with the use of the refuse areas, how it needs to be kept, so it needs some clean condition. It's all health concerns as well, of course.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to your exclusive use area, you have the complete right to that. The body corporate can only come in when they need to maintain and repair, for example,
yeah,
or deal with something relating to the common property. I would have a look at the scheme to see whether or not there's a different area that could be designated for the use of refuse, and perhaps proposed to the trustees through the managing agent's offices that the process relating to an improvement of common property be put in place to see whether or not a different area can be designated for the use, because your use and enjoyment of your exclusive use area is being unreasonably affected.
There's
nuisance,
yeah,
and disturbance, etc.
Linda, just a quick one. The thing is that the house next door, they used to have, the people who had the place before had it was a front stoop, you know, it was like a stoop area. And they probably put their bin there. But then people, the subsequent people, there have been a lot of people staying there. The subsequent people who are there, before the ones that are currently there, sorry, I'm sounding really tangled, they had put in a swimming pool. So this trustee now says that it's unsightly to put the bin at the swimming pool. And as far as I'm concerned, what he does with his bin is actually none of my concern, and I don't see that bin should be outside my property all the time. And now there's another trustee who's put his bin there too. There are two bins that sit
just outside your door.
Just outside,
yeah,
my door.
Look, have a look at Prescribed Management Rule City in the Sectional Title Schemes Management Act. It deals with the use of common property sections and exclusive use areas. And it says that the body corporate has to take all reasonable steps to make sure that anybody's use of their exclusive use area or section is not unreasonably interfered with, that there isn't nuisance and disturbance that is caused, that no municipal bylaws, et cetera, are being contravened. These are the provisions that the trustees have to consider when they allow common property to be used in a certain way or exclusive use areas to be used in a certain way. This is something that you have tried to deal with the affected owners. You've tried to deal with the trustees. The trustees and the affected owners just so happen to be the same people. Elevated to the managing agent. Of course, the managing agent acts on the instructions of the trustees. Should that be unsuccessful, get some support within your community scheme as well. If necessary, to call a meeting to direct the trustees to follow a certain course of action. And if all else fails, that is the reason that the community scheme ombuds service is there for you and your dispute resolution.
Jenny, thank you very much for your question, and Cindy, all the best to you. Zelinda van der Merwe, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity again, and thank you very much to the Cape Talk listeners for giving up of their time and, of course, of calling in. Some interesting matters going around.
Some interesting questions indeed. Zelinda van der Merwe is a specialist community schemes attorney at Paddock.